All right, I hit record. What are you there? Give me a sound test.
Yes, I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I don't know if the board can.
Well, Jason, I'm going to kill Bill.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. I'm going to also kill Bill. Are you going to do the intro? I forgot to ask.
No, it's fucking your turn, man. I'm tired of this.
Really? Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the 56th rendering of Just Be Cousins. I am Jason Mark. He is Joe Neal. We are cousins. We are brothers from different mothers with the same grandmother. And tonight we're going to talk about things that are going to make you...
uncomfortable.
They're going to make you uncomfortable. They're going to make you re-comfortable. They're going to make you retro-comfortable. And they're also going to make you wish that you had not eaten before the show. Yeah. 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 You know what? I don't listen to as many podcasts as I used to, but there was this one I would listen to, and this dude would sometimes sing to his own intro music like I just did. And then on one of his podcasts, he said, "Gosh, guys, I'm really sorry I was doing that. I won't do it anymore." And then I sent him a tweet saying, that's the best part of your show. Honestly, you can just shut up after that, as far as I'm concerned. And he retweeted it. So he agreed.
Really?
Yeah, he agreed with me.
Well, I got to tell you, you know me. I listen to our podcast. At first, that was a fun thing. Now it's a chore. It's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Because I need to harvest the cornfields and come up with montages of evidence to end the podcast. So I find myself listening to the podcast not to enjoy myself, but to stop the podcast.
You know what? I had a very similar experience when we were trying to get pregnant.
Wow. Allison? Yep. Is Allison there?
She's with the the fruit of our labors, so to speak.
One fruit.
When we have a fruit, yeah.
Many labors.
Many labors. I gotta tell you. Yeah, one labor a day, twice on Sundays. Thank God for cherry wine. Anyway, what are we talking about today?
Have you ever seen, well, you know, maybe this is going to be fun, maybe it's not, maybe we'll run out of material, but we did come up with a topic on the last podcast, which was a Bareback Mountain podcast. Mm-hmm. Shags was with us, and we said, hey, we have nothing to talk about, so let's talk about what we're going to talk about on the next podcast. Well, the next podcast is now here. And what we landed on was revenge. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we can have a lot of fun with that, but I've got nothing, and I'm pretty sure you don't have anything either. Mm-mm. That doesn't mean that we can't talk about it. I'm just
saying,
have
imaginations. We can come
up
with
do.
Stuff.
Yes, we do. We have those, and that's good.
I could tell you why we're not having a Largo ad today.
Why?
Because those fuckers fucked up their ad, and I refuse to read it. They're like, hey, here's the ad for this week. And I'm like, guys, I can't read this. This is crap. I'm like, no, you can just do it or you won't get paid. And I said, then I won't get paid. Screw you guys. This is stupid. And they said, all right, that's the way you want to be. And guess what? They paid us anyway. Ha ha ha.
Well, you know, we got to somehow break even, you know, it gets tough. And that's what I was talking about before. Like, at first, I was like really delighted by this process that I'd listen back to the podcast and come up with all this evidence and make montages. Accidentally, it made me laugh. And then I was like, okay, that goes against my mission, which is to end the podcast. Yeah. Anyway, it's all, God damn, it just spins around in a circle. It's like a snake eating its own butt. Wait, that's not how you say it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's an Ouroboros.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
yeah.
Nah.
Hello? You there? Uh-oh. Ladies and gentlemen, we may have had some technical difficulties. Joe. Yep.
I'm back.
Are you back?
No.
Now, yeah,
we
no?
always have technical difficulties. Can you hear me?
Sort of. You're in and out. Hello?
Oh, wait. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
And you say good.
Oh, man. It's scary. It keeps me on my toes. This good. Yeti and this computer, every once in a while, it's like, no, we don't like each other.
They're like
this microphone and this computer? No. Maybe not.
They're like anyway, that husband that isn't abusive exactly, but sometimes during sex he grabs your nipples real hard. Not every time, but sometimes. And you're like, okay, is this going to be a real hard nipple tweak sex session? Or is this going to be just regular old, you know, two-stroke fall asleep session? And then it turns out to be, I don't know, Joe, it's your Yeti, your computer.
Well, I hope that it just keeps functioning correctly.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so we're going to do our best here. What I was trying to say when everything cut out was now I listen to the podcast as if it's a – it's not exciting anymore. I do laugh, but once I – once I'm really getting into it, I'm like, oh, man. I'd rather just go and like watch a movie or read a book right now. Like I don't want to listen to any more JBC. Like I don't want to. What I'm looking for the word fuck again? Jesus Christ! Like it drags a little bit. Hey, did you see that movie? A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
No.
Do you know what that's about?
No. Well, I can guess from the title. It's probably about voting Democrat in Alabama.
Well, it's about revenge.
No, oh, is
no
it?
I'm just kidding. It's about the comedian. You can call him a comedian. He's a comedy writer, I think, more so than anything else. But Doug Kenny. Do you know who Doug Kenny is?
No.
Okay, so he started. He was of the Harvard Lampoon, and he started the National Lampoon. He wrote Animal House. He wrote Caddyshack.
Okay.
And then he died.
What?
Yeah, and the way that he died is a mysterious thing. It might have been a suicide. He had a lot of drug alcohol problems. He might have just fallen into a ravine, but he might have jumped into a ravine.
Oh, but it was a ravine related death.
It was a ravine related death. And okay. Doug Kenny's ghost is here with us. And he would think that that's funny that you said that. So good for you. Yeah. Anyway, there's a documentary about him, which is really good. It's called Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant, Dead.
Wow.
And then there's a movie made about him, which I thought was even better, which is called A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Okay.
Both of these films are worth your time.
Okay.
And I can't remember why I brought it up. Can you help me?
Yeah, probably because you were wanting to talk about how much you hate listening to the podcast. You do it because you have to, not because you want to. You're tired of the word fuck. You're tired of looking for fucks. It's too hard to find fuck. When we fuck and we fuck, then we
right,
say
so
fuck.
Right, so I'm thinking about Doug Kenny.
Doug fucking Kenny.
But listen, Jason, like I love doing this podcast, but in this movie and in the documentary, there was this thing that came up where Doug Kenny and his partner at the Harvard Lampoon were like, hey, let's keep doing this until it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And when Henry Beard left the National Lampoon, it is the myth. It is the almost a rumor. I don't know if this is historically accurate, but Henry Beard said, this isn't fun anymore. Like, I don't like this anymore. And he left. And sometimes this is getting pretty dark. I'm sorry. But I've been sitting sometimes. Do you know how many goddamn montages I've made
150.
For this podcast? Well, I had this moment in my mind where I was like, this isn't fun anymore.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Well, but I say that for like dark comedy effect. The fact is, I'm not even close to being done with this.
Yeah.
It has become more of a job, but the purpose of it in the deepest, you know, recesses of my soul, this is still this is a very good thing for me to do. It's just, you know, the honeymoon phase when it comes to me making montages is over. I'm going to keep doing it forever. Till, look, I just turned 40.
Yeah.
I'm going to be making montages of our fucking podcast till I'm 80. Yeah. Now, when I'm 80, I'm going to be like, oh, God, what a fucking drag. But I'm going to keep fucking doing it.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, you are.
See, anyway, that's the beauty of our podcast. I'm just telling you, the honeymoon's over. This is serious at this point.
The honeymoon
this
is
real
is
commitment.
Over.
This isn't just some, you know, fling.
No,
dude.
This is you and
you need to put a ring on it, Jason. That's what I'm saying.
You and the montages are taking a crap with the door open now. No more hidey-hidey. It's all about the, yeah, that's right. You can watch me wipe. We're married. Honeymoon's over.
Make so me let me spin sandwich. This around to revenge. Now,
okay,
if you fucking behind my back make some other podcast,
yeah,
watch out, dude.
Watch out. Okay.
You need to, like, I need loyalty. I need commitment.
Yeah.
Don't fuck around on me.
Okay.
All right. If all of a sudden I'm you know, sifting through the podcasts of the internet and I find that you've done some strange, you know, history podcast with Ian Sane, let's say. Let's say Ian Sane, by the way. Have you been talking to him?
No.
You been talking to Ian Sane?
No.
You been doing a podcast?
No.
You didn't do a podcast with Ian Sane?
No.
All right, let's bring on Shags. Give her the intro.
Oh, is she here? Yay, Shags.
She's been waiting a little bit too long.
I was looking at pictures of Katy Perry while you were talking. I heard most of what you said. Sorry.
You dick. No, that's really funny. Okay.
Here's Shags.
Let's see.
Is she really here, or is this one of those things where,
no.
Like,
I'm not
I hit the intro, and then you
I
go,
really want to bring her in.
Ha-ha, it was me the whole time. All right. Here you go. Here
yeah, goes. What a... Come on.
Shags, everybody. No? Okay, that's anticlimactic. Is she here? Are you there? All right.
Oh, that didn't work at all, did
no,
it?
No, it didn't. All right.
That's too bad. Yeah. I blame it all on my Yeti and my computer.
Doesn't Shags have a Yeti?
Shags does have a Yeti.
Did she bring it with her?
And yes, she's not in the real studio or the virtual Steelio. Or the Stu LaRubio. But.
Oh, was I supposed to answer a phone call from her? Oh, okay. I'm stupid.
Well, you know what? I told her to call in. Look, we're real professionals. Do you see how this goes down?
I don't know if call in is a thing we can do. Mm-hmm. Let me see. I'm going to look for. I don't know how to use Skype.
Can you call her?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to try to do. Listen, you asked me earlier if I'm feeling all right, and I told you I was feeling fine, which was a fucking lie. I'm feeling terrible. I'm sick, goddammit. You know those people?
Are you really?
Yeah. You know those people who, like, you'll hear about and someone go, she was never sick a day in her life. You know what? Fuck those people. I'm sick, and I'm fucking tired of being sick. This little two-year-old snot rag that I've got walking around the house, he catches viruses, and he, like... gives them to me, he mutates them, and then he gives them to me, and he's just like, ha ha ha, I'm too, fuck you, and now I have to deal with it. That's why I'm talking the way I'm talking. So I'm going to try to bring Shags in, because it's basically going
to
be you.
I'm sorry to hear that. Now, and look, all pretenses aside, all presentation aside, I am sorry that you're sick, I'm sorry that your two-year-old is a fucking monster.
Yeah.
But if we can get Shags on.
I'm calling her
you
now.
Know, we can't introduce her correctly. Let's just have her say hi.
Hello.
Okay, here's your intro again, but not all of it. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, fun time Shag.
Fun time.
I'm here, everybody.
Hi there.
Hi, guys.
You have the best microphone about all three of us right now.
Want to come over?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Don't tempt him. course he wants to come over.
I'll just get a lift. It should only cost about $8,000. Did you hear about that guy in Jersey? True story. Guy was like in, I don't know, Connecticut or Vermont, one of those stupid states, and got drunk and or he was in Kentucky. I don't know where he was, but he got drunk and got into an Uber, and the driver drove him home to New Jersey. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, it cost him $2,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would play dead at that point.
Play dead?
But Uber's got all your info. It's like you jump in the car and they say, you take me home, and they got your credit card. So it's like, fuck you, Joe Boo.
Wow. No, I did not hear about that. Yeah. Totally Googling it when we get off the phone.
Totally Google that.
Well, hey, Shags, I was thinking about it just before you came on. I'm wondering, like, how many shows have you been on now? I think maybe it's like 5 or 6.
That's so funny. I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, how many shows have I been? I think about 5 or 6, right? I think I'm almost at the double digits.
Well, I want to apologize because we've done the intro very well normally, but we tend to wing it, and now we're just like, hey. And then we couldn't get a hold of it, and you're like, nah, fuck it. Here's Shags.
Well, I actually appreciate that because, you know, it's organic.
It's very organic.
How vegan of you guys.
Yeah. Hey, can I rant about veganism for a while? I know we're supposed to talk about revenge, but...
Well, it's kind of revenge-ish.
I like to... The things that vegans subject me to, I would love to get revenge on them by, like, I don't know, secreting a bacon pill into their morning OJ or something. Something like that. I mean, is that what happens, like, when the vegans go to war? They, like, you know, they carry around little, I don't know, like, sirloin pills, and then if they get captured, they'll, like, pop the pill in their mouth and then die so they don't give away their vegan secrets? Is that how it works?
Well, here's the thing about vegans. I think that I don't need revenge on vegans, but if I wanted revenge on vegans just because I don't like the way that they portray my lifestyle as if I'm some sort of fucking horrendous asshole. Let's say I wanted revenge on that. So what I would do is I would starve the vegans, mm-hmm. and then I would take them to my steakhouse. Yeah. My steakhouse is different because the cow comes in and you get to meet the cow.
Yeah.
And then someone slits the cow's throat in front of the vegan. This is a starving vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They have to watch the cow die, and then we cook up the steaks after you watch a butcher very skillfully take the meat off of the dead cow after you've seen the cow die. And then we cook up the meat, and the vegan is there, and they're starving, and they're crying, and they're begging me, please, can I please leave? And I was like, well, you don't want to leave. You want to eat, don't you? Are you fucking hungry? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, wait, yeah, I have a question. Do you then show them the movie Alive, like, as...
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what's in the background. There's a big screen.
I just want to know what's happening in the background.
Cuts off of human butts and eating
Thank
them.
You.
Just to like, this is your situation. It's kind of the same thing. You need to eat, don't you, vegan? Do you want to eat? You want to eat? This cow's name was Betsy. And we killed this cow in front of you. And now you must eat Betsy. You must eat Betsy. And they cry and they eat the meat. And then we carry the vegans out because they're completely emotionally devastated.
And then,
I'm sorry about that entire story.
No. I know. Let me pick it up from here. And then you get them outside and they're in the parking lot. And then you do one of those cool-ass Karate Kid leg sweeps. And they fall down and you... straddle them and you put your knees on their arms and you lean your face in real close and you breathe in their face like this. You know what? I did that because you're a vegan. If you hadn't been a vegan, I wouldn't have done
it. None of this would have happened.
It's your fault.
I take them out and then they've eaten like a... See, when Betsy dies, that's one thing. That's disturbing. But then we don't feed the vegan like, you know, a bad cut of Betsy. We give the vegan the center cut filet mignon of Betsy. And they have to enjoy it. And they cry while they're enjoying it. And then we take them outside and they're crying. They're really disturbed. There's all sorts of internal conflict. And then I start stuffing kale in their mouth, but they don't like it anymore because now they've had Betsy's filet.
Yeah.
And I'm stuffing kale in their mouth and I say this over again. Stop kaling yourself. Stop killing yourself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they kill out.
Everyone
like,
don't get on Joe's bad
because
side.
I love Betsy.
And then, like, everything is back to the way it was. They're at home, and you keep sending them emails with links to articles about Wagyu beef, and they're like, I don't think he's pronouncing that right, but they finally just break down and read one. They realize, wait a minute. It takes a long time to cure meat to taste as good as I ate. He didn't feed me Betsy. He fed me some other cow. Betsy died for nothing. And then they,
They eat a filet mignon.
Then they eat a filet mignon. Yeah, another one.
Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I have another guest. This is our second guest. This is a vegan. Her name's Stephanie. Come on in, Stephanie. Stephanie's crying. Oh, wait, no, Stephanie doesn't exist. So, Shags, how are you doing?
I didn't get to rant about vegans, though. I want Shags to talk for a while because she's better than I am, but I'm going to go back to my vegan rant. This is my revenge on you, Joe, for making me, I don't know. Shags, how are you doing?
I'm good, and I clearly don't have that. I mean, Joe's vegan vengeance is way stronger than my force. I was just going to say that I would replace their toothpaste with bacon fat and you know, like, that's just, you know, or, you know, I mean, clearly I'm nowhere as near as vindictive as Joe would be to the vegans. I should step up my vengeance game here.
Have you ever?
Well, you know, look, at my restaurant, it's one thing to meet Betsy, see her die, and then eat the filet mignon from Betsy. See, there's other things on the menu, too. Like, I bring out a lamb, I punch it in the face until it dies.
Oh.
Yeah, right? Wow. Even meat eaters don't like that.
Especially meat eaters.
But I'm talking about revenge, and the fact is, that lamb gave me a dirty look earlier that day.
Yeah.
This is about revenge.
It's about respect.
Well, I want to know.
I must punch the lamb to death.
I'm curious. Jason.
Yeah.
What's your beef with vegans?
Hey-o! Look, 99% of vegans are probably fine individuals. It's that 1% that ruins it for the rest who insist on declaring their veganism. And first of all, I just don't like that they get to be called something because of what they don't do. That's just dumb. Like, I don't like cockroaches. I don't get a special name for doing that, right? Like, I don't have sex with 5 men at the same time. Not 5. I don't get a name for that. Nobody calls me, hey, there goes that non-quinta succulon. They don't say that.
Quinta succulon?
Yeah.
Look, I've always called you quattro because you've always stuck with 4.
Well, I'm not admitting to anything. I'm just saying that's one thing I don't like. It's like vegans are like so desperate for a name. Not all of them, that 1%. They're so desperate for a name. It's like, I'm going to name myself out of something that I don't do, which is stupid. And the second thing that's stupid, or the 100th thing, because there's a billion, is that they'll like do things like they'll make vegan meatloaf. Like, hey, let's go get some vegan meatloaf. So it's like, no, you can't do that. You can't say vegan meat. You can't go vegan meat. That's like saying, you know, hey, what color is that car? It's kind of a whitish black. You know what I'm saying? It's a sort of a, it's kind of a tall shortness. No, you can't. And then they're like, oh, you're right. We'll call it pasture loaf. It's like, now it sounds like something a cow left behind after it ate a lot of hay.
Right.
Stupid.
Are you kidding me? Is that what they call it? Pasture loaf?
Or range loaf, sounds like pasture loaf. I have to look it up.
Well, I'm curious though. Do you guys have any vegans in your life?
No.
Hello?
I'm still here. Do we lose
I'm
Joe?
There.
Do you have any vegans in your life, Shags?
No. I don't think I could communicate with them well. I don't think it would work out. So it's just not for me.
It's not for you to be around people who are like that. I appreciate what you're talking
about.
Well,
because I would just – you couldn't go out with them. I mean, and if you did, they'd be judging you, and I'm the judgiest of them all, so then I would get annoyed by them judging my choices. It's just, I don't think. I mean, maybe a loving, kind vegan will step into my world one day and change these thoughts, but as of now, it's a no. Hard no.
Well, I
do know vegans. Don't you guys know vegans?
Well, probably, I bet you I do know people who are vegans that just don't wear the label, right? They don't walk around.
How about this? I can say this. I know a vegan.
Okay.
And I'm able to make fun of her and she can take it, and that's cool. Because,
well, that's what makes her cool then. All right.
Yes, because look, any vegans out there, they don't want to hang out with me. Oh my God.
No.
I'll eat a hamburger and spit it in your fucking face.
Yeah. Like, and then he'll eat the spit. You're like, just give me that back. That was on loan.
Anybody can do. Here's my kind of rubric for respect among people. This doesn't make sense after what I just said, but the fact is, I don't mind vegans at all as long as they don't fuck with me. I retaliate when people judge me. Mm-hmm. I don't judge people. Now, I'll make fun of people all day long, and that includes you, Jason, and you, Shags.
Too, I know it. I know.
I'll make fun of you all goddamn day long. Make fun of myself. That's fine. But vegans, I'm – you know what? I know two – I am friends with two vegans. Now, if you don't judge me, I won't even make fun of you, except I'll make fun of all vegans on my podcast. Come on. I'm entitled. I can do that. I can make fun of all vegans on my podcast. But I'm not going to fuck with vegans that are my friends. So until if there's a vegan in my face and they're like, do you know what this means? Blah, 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 and they start like just laying it on me, like what it means that I'm a meat eater, and they start judging me. Well, that's when
they make you watch What the Health.
Yeah. Anyway, other than that, it's all just in good fun. It's just okay. Ribbing schoolyard humor.
Well, let's
any vegan that is just of good humor will take my jokes and they will fucking sling jokes at me. And there's not real judgment. It's just all fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Hey, clearly you guys don't get it.
No, we do.
Absolutely, 100%. But I just wanted to close out the vegan part of this revenge show on how wardens get revenge on their unruly prisoners. Now, you might be saying, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right, revenge. Isn't it just punishment? Yeah, it is. But I'm bending things with artistic license so that I can talk about this. Apparently, there's a thing in prison called neutral loaf. It's also called meal loaf, prison loaf, disciplinary loaf, food loaf, lockup loaf, confinement loaf, sedge loaf, grew, or special management meal. And it's basically...
I've got it. It's Carlos's turd.
That's basically it. It's a bunch of crap shoved into meat form with some nasty-ass gravy poured on top, and they give it to you if...
Wait, I was right?
It's not literally a turd. It's actual food. It's made with things that are alleged to be nutritious. And it's given to you, like, if you're in prison, you've been acting up, like, well, we have to feed you, but we don't have to make you like it. And they give you this prison loaf, and it's, I mean, they can make it with meat, but they can also make it without. And that's what I'm telling you, is like, if I was driving down the road in my BMW and I cut somebody off, and that dude, like, called up his friend at the DMV and was like, hey, give me, what's A55H? L-E. Whose car is that? And the guy's like, wait, A55-HL, is his license plate really asshole? He's like, yeah, it is. What's his name? And he got my name. He came over to my house, and he's like, hey, I'm going to cook dinner for you. And he's like, I don't know who you are, but I'm lazy, so go ahead. And he made me vegan loaf. Boom. Revenge. He got it. It worked.
Wow, that's worse than getting shanked.
Totally.
Yeah, it's totally. More complicated. It's more emotionally devastating, I think.
I think so. I think it takes a lot more effort to loaf someone than to shank someone in prison. Jeez.
You know what's really fucked up about this? I don't even have a BMW. I don't own one. And this fucker still figured out how to get revenge on me with vegan loaf. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, hey, look, I just think it's silly that people that are vegans are constantly trying to find a way to experience meat. Just stop it.
Tofurkey. What is it? Tofurkey.
Yeah, tofurkey.
Tofurkey is not meat. Let it go.
Is not food. Yeah. Because it's like meat is
bacon,
great.
Lettuce, and tomato.
What's bacon? All right, let's move
honestly,
on.
Honestly, I can't. I can't with them. They're just not in my. They're not allowed.
Yeah,
they're not allowed.
Like I said, you probably do.
You know what? Let's get a little bit away from the vegan thing. I'm just gonna say French dip. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. It is the best revenge against all veganism. French dip. It's basically meat dipped in blood sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just meet Betsy and watch her die and then eat Betsy. And okay. So
dip Betsy in Betsy.
Yes, dip Betsy in Betsy. Hey, is that the name of the podcast?
It is now. Hey. Yeah, I'm writing it down. Dip Betsy in Betsy.
Unless we come up with something better, right?
I doubt
so,
we will.
Shags, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh, great.
I know. Last time I put you on the spot, I asked you to tell us the meaning of life.
I mean, and it was really raunchy of you. That just really fucked raunchy. Me up.
I've listened to it a couple of times since then.
I was like, that was rude. At least, I mean, we knew what I mean, I'm a little prepared. I tried to think about stories of my own vengefulness, but I don't want to get arrested. So,
well, it's not that you need to be prepared, and you can even pass. You can even pass. I'm just saying, can you tell us a revenge story?
Okay, so I thought a lot about this, and I am a Scorpio, everyone. I am the most vengeful bitch. You do not want to cross me. Mm-hmm. I am a very kind person, but, you know, it's just a fact. Don't get on my bad side.
Do not cross fun time Shags.
Don't. I mean, because, you know, but I started thinking about it. And, you know, in my elder years, I've become much more of a vengeless person. But I did think of one story that kind of stuck out to me. And it was probably one of the first times I seeked out revenge. And for me personally, when something happens to me, I'm not that spiteful. But if you fuck with my friends or you fuck with my family, that's when the real anger comes out. Yeah. So, I thought of one thing, and so long story short, I will change the names to, you know, protect my friends. But, I think I was in ninth grade, and one of my best friends, let's call her Betsy, called me. And another girlfriend, awesome. We'll call her, I don't know.
Vegan bitch.
No.
I'm sorry. That's not funny.
No, so Betsy and Sarah called me. Okay. And Betsy's boyfriend was cheating on her. And he was cheating on her for quite a while. And let's just put it this way. He gave her something that she didn't want.
Oh!
And so I get this call, and, you know, it's like, you know, a three-way call, right? Those were cool back then. Yeah. And she's frantic. So the three of us get together. We black out our, you know, license plates. And my friend, the other friend, Sarah, I think that's what I called her, she called her boyfriend at the time, who was a doll, and we loved him. And he showed up, and so we go to Home Depot. We get spray paint. We roll up with all of our softball bats, and we find
ropes,
out
shovels,
everything, right?
Ski masks.
So we know that my girlfriend's boyfriend at the time, and I will use his real name, Adrian, was playing basketball at the rec center, and we show up, totally fuck up his car, and hide and watch him see what happened to his car. So immediately he runs to the payphone, because this is high school, right? Not everyone has a cell phone yet. Runs to the payphone, calls my girlfriend who's in the car with us, and we're like, oh my God, we are fucked. He knows, right? Like, he knows it's us. Well, apparently he blamed the whole thing on the people he was playing basketball with, because here it comes. He cheated. And we laughed our asses off.
He cheated at basketball?
He cheated when he was playing basketball. Yeah.
So how do you cheat at basketball? I mean,
I don't know. I wasn't there, but he said.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around this.
I don't know how you cheat. I don't know. Are the refs your friends? Are you like, do you, I don't know. Did he deflate the ball? I don't know. But he immediately blamed the opposing team for fucking up his car. And it wasn't them. wasn't them.
That begs a few questions. I love that story. I think it's great. Justice was served because he was a two-time loser. One, he, you know, gave his girlfriend something she didn't want.
She didn't want. No, she didn't want it. She didn't ask for it. No.
She didn't want it. And I'm assuming it's, you know, either rickets or beriberi or scurvy or something like that.
It's the scurvy.
So he did that, and then he also cheated at basketball, so he got his car all messed up. But what I'm wondering is, isn't there in revenge a satisfaction with the knowing the other person knows what you did to them?
I mean, maybe. I mean, I think for her it was just like, let's just fuck this guy over at all costs. It doesn't matter if he knows it's me or not. Let's just do it. And
it's about causing pain.
It's about causing discomfort.
Maybe something deeper than pain, where it's like more like confusion or something.
Okay.
I guess I don't know. I mean, that's like my earliest memory, and I think that's why it popped out for me. It's because I felt like justice needed to be served that day.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing about you, Shags. I asked for a revenge story. I was hoping that you would just tell a revenge story about somebody else who was vengeful. Mm-mm. You took part in this, but I don't think it was revenge. I think it was
What's the difference?
Isn't that difference?
Yeah.
Is there a difference between justice and revenge?
I think I completely agree, and that's why I really have been thinking about that. I've had a hard time. I'm like, okay, we came up with revenge as a topic, and why am I having such a hard time, you know, thinking about revenge stories? Because
you know why? Because you're a good person.
Oh, please. We all know that's not true.
And you don't do revenge. You do justice. So what is the difference?
But well, there's a fine line. Hey.
All heroes wear capes. I know. But still.
I'm just saying there's a fine line between justice and revenge. And I'm going to go pee.
Okay.
Okay. So you guys talk about that. And when I come back, we're going to do a deep dive.
Okay, good. Okay. Good. So I have a question for you, Jason.
Yeah, go for it.
Why do you think some people are so committed to revenge? And, like, what makes them motivated?
Well, okay. So I was thinking about what you said just now about how, like,
okay,
if somebody does you wrong personally, it's not – you're not so vengeful. But it's when somebody does your loved ones wrong that you're, like, straight up, oh, no, he didn't, and you go after them, right? And so I thought about how that probably stems from a kind of a sense of ownership, right? Like, you have friends, and if somebody fucks with your friends, you're like,
bitch.
It's like you fucked with my chattel, you fucked with my personal property, and
this is my tribe.
Yeah, and so, and I'm the same way. I'm also a Scorpio, and if anybody mess with any of my friends, I'm like, you know, you just took food off of the table that I was going to feed my son with, and they're like, wait, no, all we did was accidentally knock your buddy's drink over at the bar. What do you mean?
It was just a beer.
And it's like, no. This is complicated, motherfucker. That's why I have to put my fist as far up your butthole as will send us both to the hospital. And, you know, but I don't know. It's that sense of ownership, which I think is part of a person's identity, Shags. I think the reason why some people are committed to revenge is because they lose their sense of self when somebody does them wrong. It shifts them outside of their comfort zone, their who I am. When somebody comes along and says, no, you're not, and you know, slaps them on the forehead.
So, okay. I'm catching what you're throwing. So you think it's like a psychological shift then?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Okay. It's serious. That makes a lot of sense.
It's some serious, what's the phrase? Cognitive dissonance. You got this guy's walking down the street, mind his own business. He's thinking, yeah, I'm cool because I just bought this leather jacket. And I also have shoes that look nice. And then somebody comes along and says, hey, dork, and throws paint on his jacket. And he's like, okay, I'm not cool anymore, but I thought I was. So either I have to go after this person to reestablish my cool, or I have to accept that I'm not. And like, I'm not going to accept that I'm not. I paid $300 for this leather jacket. And then they, you know, chase the guy down and stab him repeatedly in the face with a rusty spoon.
And rusty spoons.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think like all of us have experienced betrayal, right? Yeah. At one point or the other. I mean, even in a lifetime, you know, earning your trust from someone and vice versa, there can still be betrayal.
Absolutely.
And I think it's one of those things that just leaves you slighted, you know, you just don't know what to do with yourself because, I mean, justice needs to be served.
Yeah, it needs to be. You want a balance to be returned to the force. You don't want a bunch of Jedis running around in their robes and their Yoda looking, you know, talking weird shit. You need somebody to step up, kill them all, and the kids too.
But do you think it's unavoidable?
Yeah, I do. I think it's unavoidable because I think that, you know, it comes down to basically a very different point of view on the severity and importance of a particular event. Like the example I gave, that stupid one about somebody cutting you off in traffic, and it's like, to the guy who cut you off, nothing much happened. Either he didn't know it, or if he did, it's not that big a deal, you know, whatever. It was like a 2 on the irritation scale. But for you, it was a 10 on the irritation scale. Yeah. And so you have to show him, look, fucker, it wasn't a 2, it was a 10. And it's that difference. Like if somebody walks up to you and smacks you and says, hey, I smacked you, didn't I? And then you smack them back. That's not revenge, that's retaliation because you're all on the same page. But if somebody accidentally knocks your drink over and like you had a whole bad week and you really needed that drink and your mom's an alcoholic and your dad used to beat your mom and so you're really stepping up and
now almost crossing the line.
Yeah. That drink is now, like, super meaningful. Look, I'm going to kill you for
slide
not
in with some lube. I want to gently slide back into the conversation.
Yeah. What kind gently of lube are you using?
Myself. Slide into our DMs. Really?
Place myself back into the butt of the conversation.
Is this a KY mm-hmm. type of lube? Or are you going au natural with a coconut oil? What are we talking about here?
Oh, look, I'm a vegan. So, you know, Betsy has nothing to do with it. I'm just saying. So, while I was gone, and it's a convention, I'm a little embarrassed about it, but almost every time I need to go pee in the middle of the show. Luckily, you guys were talking about important stuff. What did you come up with? So, what is there any conclusion about, like, I don't know, revenge versus justice? Like, where are we at?
Yeah, we did. Basically, Jags and I, because Shag, I've known you since you were born, Joe, but Jag is, you know, she sees you more often than I do. But we both agree that while there are some guys who are growers and some guys that are showers, there's some who are neither. And if you want to get revenge on your parents for giving you the kind of genetics that results in a, you know, micro dick, we understand. If that's the revenge you need to seek, we will help you because we're family, Joe. We're all family here. Mm-hmm. That's what we kind of decided.
Well, look, the fact that my penis is 4 inches long makes me want to slap my dad, but the fact that it's 2 inches wide makes me want to give him a hug.
Sure.
So,
yep.
You know what I mean?
What are you going to do?
And by the way, that's not an accurate depiction of my cock. My cock needs to be a mystery forever, and except for Polly.
Only Polly knows those.
My cock needs to be a mystery forever. Other people is that going to be like the name of your autobiography? Because I think that's a great title.
Right on the back page intro.
So,
well, I
went pee, I said, hey, let's do a deep dive when it comes to revenge and what it means. And I had something to posit.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pause it away.
It's this. Why are we so fixated? Why is it so satisfying to watch a revenge movie?
Oh my God, I have a list of movies that I wanted to discuss.
Okay, we're going to give you a movie intro, okay?
Yeah.
Do you have that list handy, Shags?
Okay, I have it ready. I'm going to spit them out. Ready?
Okay, here we go. Wait.
Should I go? Oh, fuck you, Joey. Fuck you, Joey.
Okay, I'm going to make a new button now. It's called Fuck You, Shags.
You should.
I have a list here.
It's a list of movies and books because I was thinking about revenge a lot today.
Don't you just normally?
I always do, but more like, Justin, punch that fucking bitch in the face, or God, you're dumb, or, you know, those things happen. But I started to think about things that inspired my vengefulness, and I came up with some of my favorite movies and books that have inspired my vengeance. And so here's a few of them. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Here we go. Kill Bill, Hamlet, Carrie, Gone Girl, The Godfather, The Count of Motherfucking Monte Cristo.
Okay.
Enough with J-Lo. Okay, guys, that's a good one. Django Unchained, Tombstone, The Karate Kid, Ocean's 11, and Mad Max. Those are some of my faves.
Oh my God, you just gave us like 15 movies or something. That's crazy.
That is awesome.
I really had to think about it. I'm like, God, what movies made me want to fuck someone over? Yep, those are them.
Yeah.
Oh wait, see, this is interesting. It's not some. These are movies that inspired you. Like, yeah, that I want revenge just from hearing the story. Like,
right,
watching,
because I'm a psycho. So yeah.
Well, that's okay. what I'm saying is, okay, you just gave us 15. Tell us the top, and maybe we can all take turns here. I think revenge movies are very satisfying, and I was hoping that you guys would be like, yeah, but
not
you
talking
weren't
about
like,
revenge porn, guys. Here
we're not revenge porn, revenge movies. Why do we love them so much? And you just rattled off a lot of them, including The Karate Kid. That's interesting.
It's a revenge movie. Think about it.
It is. I've totally.
You
yeah.
guys, it is. I missed Rocky. I'm sorry. I missed that one too. Sorry. Rocky.
Oh,
five,
that's
Rocky
a revenge five. Movie too?
Yes.
Well, so
here's
is
my top five revenge movies.
Okay, go for it.
So. Terms of Endearment, The Lion King, Pee-wee Herman's Big Adventure, Big Top Pee-wee, and Citizen Kane.
Ooh, those are some nasty ones.
Getting deep.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to name a few because I also have access to the internet. I Spit on Your Grave. Okay. Ugh. Probably the.
Oh, shit. Now, I was joking. Jason is not. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, I Spit revenge on Your Grave. Probably the archetypical revenge.
Okay.
Movie, right? Sweeney Todd. Any way you want to look at it, right? The play,
fucking
the
A.
musical,
yeah.
The amazing. Right, the movie, the various movies. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. It's in the name, yo. Yeah.
Guys.
It's in the name. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Fuck you, Jason. Anyway, go ahead.
there's Revenge. I don't know if the whole movie is about revenge, but there's revenge at the end of Carrie. Did you mention Carrie, Jax?
I sure did.
Look, you did.
Man,
okay, you mentioned
that's
Carrie.
That's a fucking revenge movie, right? Yeah.
I sure did.
Yeah,
it's one of my faves.
Oh yeah, it's on her list, right? Yeah. I'm gonna listen to it back tomorrow.
It's right next to Gone Girl.
Yeah, no, I hear you there. And then, you know, I Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. That's kind of a revenge movie.
Oh, yeah. It is. That's a good one.
And while
now you're just looking for words in the title though. That
pretty much.
On.
And while Taken is not a revenge film per se, because he's trying to rescue his daughter and he's just willing to kill everybody while he does
it's
well, but I guess it could fall into the category,
it
right?
Still
oh, it
still fulfills that.
Somebody
that
took
inner
daughter and he fucked them up.
Now,
that
Taken
7,
I don't know about that, but the first one, yeah.
Taken 7. God damn it, yeah. So, you know, I just got all those off of a list here on the web, but...
Okay, but my favorite one, if I have to pick one, if I, like, you know... have to, is The Count of Monte Cristo. Now that is a beautiful fucking revenge story.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is a good segue. I have a friend here in my backyard. He's yammering. He can't stop talking. It's a good person to bring onto the podcast. What I'd like for him to do is give us a 5-minute Cliff Notes ridiculous overview of The Count of Monte Cristo.
Is that
okay with you guys?
Yeah.
I would love it because, you know, I just watch clips of, you know, the movie and read the book every now and then. So I can assess if he's, you know,
Right. Well, while I get him, why don't you guys try to do a bit of an intro? Like, what is it about? I'm gonna go get him.
I will.
And then he's gonna fucking blast.
Jason, you gonna take this one?
Now, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm going to introduce your intro, Shags. I'm gonna introduce your intro.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you that.
Jason, you do an intro to Shags' intro.
Okay, but can I like do it my way? Like,
absolutely, yeah. However you want to.
Shags, fucking do it.
way. I think that the most
I'm gonna do it the most white girl way that I can. Okay.
So the most
ubiquitous, I'm gonna say it in English.
Yes, absolutely. The most ubiquitous use of revenge in our modern parlance is the phrase "revenge is a dish best served cold." Now, a lot of people don't know where this came from. It comes from actually a French diplomat by the name of Charles Maurice de Talleyrand Perigord, who I believe came up with the phrase to get revenge on his parents for calling him Charles Maurice de Talleyrand Perigord. And this was sometime between 1754 and 1838. So, here with a real literary example of revenge is Shags telling us about what we're going to hear about, which is the Count of Monte Cristo, please.
Okay, guys. So basically, this guy, Edmond, he was in love with this chick and everything was good, hunky-dory, great. And he had this best fucking friend who was supposed to be his best fucking friend. And he plotted for his exile, murder, death, like whatever the fuck happened to him, and he was sent away to die in a prison far, far away, and he ended up marrying his girlfriend, who happened to be pregnant with his baby, but she never told him that it wasn't his baby, and because, you know, she had to live, you know, we all gotta live, and so what the Count did is he became the Count. He escaped from prison and he came back and like did some kind of witchery and trickery, comes back, becomes a fucking Count, thug life, Tupac, and pretty much fucks everyone's shit up. They also live happily ever after. Go ahead.
So Shags, was that your account?
I mean, I said I would say it in English.
Well, and that's great. But hey, it's okay. We're gonna do that with Shags. She explained the whole goddamn thing. But this is my friend Ryan, and he's.
Oh, hi, Ryan.
Yeah, and you know Ryan, and so do you, Jason.
We kind of know each other. Just a little. Just kidding. BFF. Hi, Ryan.
I'm going to do an intro song. I'm going to do an intro song for Ryan. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Bear with me here while I cue something up. Okay. Can you hear that? You can't hear that.
Really? Helmet?
Yeah. Bucket.
All right. Everybody, Ryan.
Wow. That was a great intro. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Shags got it all wrong. You know, the story is pretty straightforward. So, you know, Jesus is out there and he's chilling, right? And he has a friend, Guy Pierce, who's kind of a dick and totally screws him over. He then gets sent to prison and he runs into Dumbledore, teaches him how to fight and like classic literature, and then shows him where a treasure is. He takes that treasure, he goes after Guy Pierce, and he turns his son Superman against him, which is insane. And then it ends and they all die.
That's what I said, Ryan.
It's basically word for word what Jack said.
But I said that they live happily ever after.
Okay, so here's what I want to do from now on. I want Ryan to come on every episode and
thank
do.
Thank you, Ryan, by the way.
And do a.
That's
Ryan,
what he's saying.
Please explain, Ryan.
Ryan, explain.
What? Well, the movie version is far superior to Dumas's dribble that goes on and on for hundreds of pages. I mean, the acting, the music, the star power.
It was
movies,
good.
People, movies.
So, Ryan, how do you feel about For Whom the Bell Tolls? Like, Hemingway, like, do you think that's a shitty fucking book? Like, how do you feel about that?
Everything by Hemingway is shitty by essence of just what he does.
Jason, I need your thoughts on this. This has gone a direction that I could not have predicted. What I'm saying is, you know, look, in Ryan's version, we got Guy Pearce, we got Superman, Dumbledore. Like, look, to me, it's way more engaging than anything Shags had to say. It was boring, hundreds of pages of just fucking boring literature. Ryan jumped in and was like, fucking Dumbledore, Superman, Gandalf. And I was like, shit, is that the story? And he's just nodding at me. I'm like, is that really the story? And he's just nodding at me. He's like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway. So here's my thoughts.
Do you have any questions for Ryan about his fucking version of this?
No, here's my question for you, Joe. Can we have Ryan come on every week with a really quick classical literature synopsis just like that so that I can get revenge on Professor Wilson, who was a teacher of mine? Fuck that guy. No, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. I want Ryan to come on.
Fuck
and then
you,
I
Wilson.
Yes.
Fuck you, Wilson. And I want Ryan to be like, so, have you read Memory of Times Lost or whatever that French faggot's name was? Shitty book.
Jesus Christ. I spilled my drink all over myself. How dare you say that word, sir?
I'm sorry.
Thank God. I'm gonna pretend that I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have Ryan somebody pick a – Ryan's a very well-read person. Let's pick another story and see if Ryan can give us a real quick, like, couple-of-minute fucking overview of a classic tale.
Okay.
Anybody got an idea?
Well,
mentioned – ready?
Yeah.
The Great Gatsby. Go.
Good one.
Dude does shady shit, gets rich, goes back, tries to show off for his old girlfriend, everybody hates him, they all die.
Okay, next.
Okay, one more.
Do you have another story? Give us a classic.
Okay, Don Quixote.
I thought it was going to be a couple of minutes, but fuck it. 15 seconds. Here we go. I'm putting him on the spot.
A little preparation. I'm sorry. You know?
No, it's okay. Let's give him. I'm going to give him one.
I have a question for Ryan, though, in all reality. Okay. Since we're talking about revenge, I just want to get his, you know, unsolicited response here. Ryan, why are some people so committed to revenge, and what makes them motivated?
Well, as a wise man once said, and it's been lost to the ages, it is a dish best served cold. So it is something that takes some long planning. Mm-hmm. And you can't really let the subject of your revenge know that it's coming. And it's even better if you can turn that into some kind of, gross betrayal, hopefully intimate in some way. And mm-hmm. that, because that's the lasting emotional damage.
The sick motherfucker right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? He's inspiring me. But the thing about revenge is that you need to make someone feel comfortable for years.
Yes.
Actually. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, everything's fine. What I've done, which was terrible, I can kind of sweep it under the rug a little bit. But then the person that wants revenge against you, they've been just lurking in the fucking shadows. And they're ready, and they fucking jump out. And it's not just about what you've done and what you – the goddamn revenge that you deserve to be laid upon you. It's more holy shit. I never thought this would happen to me, and here it is, and it slaps you in the face, or it hits you in the head like a machete.
Right. Well, while you were peeing, Jason and I were talking about the psychological effects of when you get, I guess, revenged on.
Yeah.
I mean,
revenged upon.
Revenge. Yeah. Avenge me. Yes. Yeah.
I gotta say, I think that revenge just gets a bad rap. You know, why don't we just call it comeuppance? You know, that's really what it is if you think about it. It's comeuppance delivered.
Yeah. Or should we be like millennials and say karma's a bitch?
Yeah.
I think I said that. I'm a millennial. All right.
Karma's
yeah,
a bitch.
Yeah, Ryan's a fucking millennial.
Karma will get you. Karma. Well, no, bitch, I'll get you. I'm karma.
Well, so here.
Hey, Jason, this is your podcast. Why don't you say some shit?
It's not my podcast. You know what? Okay, you know what? I am going to say some something, and here's what I'm going to say. You ready? Here we go. Yeah, that's what I have to say.
No way, it's over?
Yeah, it's over. So, a couple of things I just want to just get out while we're doing this outro here. One, Joe, you mentioned getting Ryan on the show before, and at first I was wowed by his repartee, but now I'm going to get revenge on you because his voice is way better than any of ours, like way better. Like, this fucker should be doing lots of podcasts, and I hate you now for that. Revenge on Shags for being funnier than both me and Joe put together. So revenge on you. Revenge on my parents for... well, I have mirrors in my house, and revenge on the guy who installed those. And revenge on God for not making me Muslim, because instead of revenge, I'd really like to say a jihad on everybody, but I can't. So, you know what? Yeah. Those are my closing thoughts.
I am going to kill him.
Revenge would be lukewarm, man. Not even cold.
My revenge is piping hot.